Okay, today's daf is Tzadi Aleph. We're going to start at the Gemara at the bottom of Tzadi Amabet. Ibai Elohu. So just to review, we had the first mission of the Perek was about Tadir Kola Tadir Mechavero, and the next mission was Kola Mekudash Mechavero. So we had anything that's more frequent is Kodemet Chavero, and then we had anything that's more sanctified is Kodemet Chavero. Now the Gemara is going to ask, Tadir u'mekudash ezemehem kodem. What if you have something that's frequent and something that's more sanctified? What's going to be the order of precedence? So the Gemara says, Tadir kodem, do we say, Tadir kodem mishum de tadir, or dilma mekudash kadim de kadish? Not sure why the Gemara needed to repeat that, it's kind of obvious, but do we say what's more frequent or what's more sanctified? Tashma. So the Gemara is going to try to bring several attempts to prove it. Tmidin kodmim lemusafim, va'af agav de musafim kedishe. So they're going to say on Shabbat, what do? We do the korban tamid before we do the korban musaf, even though the musafim are more sanctified than the korban tamid, or so we think. So the Gemara says, atu Shabbat lemusafin ahane litmidin lo ahane. What makes the musafim more sanctified on Shabbat? It's because it's Shabbat. So the korban tamid on Shabbat also has a different nature because the fact that it's Shabbat changes the nature of the korban tamid that we bring every day is different in nature since it's a korban tamid for Shabbat. So therefore, the level of sanctity of the tamid and the musaf are actually the same. And this is going to be the same theme we're going to see throughout a number of answers.
Question. Yeah. The tamid is brought every day.
Every day. No every single day, twice a day. Okay, it's a keves achad taseh b'boker, it's a keves, right? Shini taseh ben harban. Every day, morning, nothing, and it always comes first. Okay, so now we're going to say, so we're basically saying that the tamid on Shabbat, which you could say also, right, our tefillot are keneged the tamidim, and on Shabbat also, our tefillah is different than our tefillah, right? Our amidah is different than the amidah on a regular day. So that doesn't answer our question. Tashma, second attempt. Musfei Shabbat kodmim lemusfei Rosh Chodesh. Okay, the Musaf on Shabbat comes before the Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. Atu Rosh Chodesh lemusafin didei ahane. Lemusfei Shabbat lo ahane. Again, what are we going to say? So what did the Musfei Shabbat come before Musfei Rosh Chodesh? That's what are you trying to say? That the Musfei Rosh Chodesh are more sanctified? Again, the Musafim, right, if we're talking about Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, so we're now going to say, right, Rosh Chodesh lemusafin. Rosh Chodesh is going to make the Musaf on that day more sanctified, but it's not going to make the Musaf on Shabbat more holy. But Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, so all the more special is our Korban Tamid going to be. Tashma, next attempt. Musfei Rosh Chodesh kodmim lemusfei Rosh Hashanah. So again, on Rosh Hashanah, what do you have? You have the Rosh Chodesh, and then you have the Musfei Rosh Hashanah, which we assume the Musfei Rosh Hashanah are going to be more sanctified. So again, right, Afagav de Rosh Chodesh Kadesha, right? That's the part of the question. Or the attempt to answer. Now we say, no, Atu Rosh Hashanah, the Musfei Didei Ahane, the Musfei Rosh Chodesh Lo Ahane. Again, the Korban, the Musaf that we bring, the Korban on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, the Korban Rosh Chodesh that we bring on Rosh Hashanah is going to be more special than a regular Rosh Chodesh. So again, it's going to have the same level of sanctity as the unique Korbanot that we bring just for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, right, just to repeat this, we saw this the other day, but that whatever you bring on Rosh Chodesh, the unique Korban for Rosh Chodesh, you're also going to bring on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. Tashma, Davar Acher, this, okay, we're going to see now. This is a totally separate thing. This is, which bracha do you do in Kiddush first? Do you do the Birkat HaYayin? Okay, we know Friday night, what do? We do Uborei Pregafen, and then we do Mekadesh HaShabbat. But there's actually Machloket Tanaim about it. Look at Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, which one comes first? Is it the Birkat HaYayin? Okay, so we're going to see Davar Acher, Birkat HaYayin Tidira, Uberkat HaYom Eina Tidira. Wine is something we drink all the time. And Birkat HaYom is obviously something we do only on Shabbat, or Chag, or whatever it might be. V'tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Okay, so here comes your answer, that since the wine is tadir, we're going to do that one first. Af agav, de birkat hayom kadisha. So here you have it. The birkat hayom is more sanctified, because it's mikadesha Shabbat, right? It's the kedusha. And the yayin isn't necessarily sanctified. So now we're going to say, you see, the tadir comes before mikudash. So again, the Gemara says, Atu Shabbat, Leberkadeo Mahane, Leberkadeo Lohane. What do you mean? The wine we drink on Shabbat, it's special. Again, it has the sanctity of Shabbat to it. It's not like just any regular drinking of wine. And therefore, both are, right? All of these are basically saying that we're eliminating the sanctity issue because everything is equal in sanctity in all of these cases. Okay, which is interesting because what's it saying basically? That the same item, let's say the Korban Tamid or the drinking of the wine, any of these things change their nature. And by just by it being a different day, it already changes the sanctity of that same thing that you do every day.
But it's interesting that we don't change the bracha for wine on Shabbat. In other words, it is still the same bracha.
Right, it's also the exact same to me. Right, that's why when I compared it to tefillah, it's not exactly true because tefillah is actually somewhat different. But when you do the korban or the wine, it's the exact same wine, right? It's like people say how chulent on Shabbat, right? It only tastes good on Shabbat. If you had chulent during the week, it would, you know, this is. But we laugh at that, right? Because what? But that's what this is basically saying. That there's a sanctity, right? That changes, even though you might not feel it, you might not sense it. But there's a difference. That's how it treats it. And it's basically saying, again, the Gemara tried to suggest, and there's two ways of doing it. The suggestion of the Gemara in each of these cases are, obviously the sanctity is just a regular sanctity. It doesn't have a special sanctity just because you're doing the Korban Tamid on Shabbat. The rejection of it is saying, no, it has special sanctity. In other words, what it's basically saying is, you took a regular animal, and you sacrifice it for the Musaf of Shabbat. Let's just go back to the first example. That makes it a different sanctity. So the same way you can create sanctity to just this random animal by saying, oh, we're bringing you for the special Korban on Shabbat, you can do the same for the Ola on Shabbat. Right? Because what does sanctity mean anyway? It's not something it's tangible. And that's a little bit what they're struggling with, right? What makes something sanctified? Okay. So now, Tashma. So we haven't gotten an answer yet. Tashma, let's try this one. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, until now we've been bringing Mekorot Tanaim. Here's a statement of an Amora. Halacha, the halacha is, now we're moving off of Korbanot, we're going to Tfilot. Mitpalel Adam Shel Mincha, v'achar kach shel Musafin. Come Shabbat afternoon, you didn't daven Musaf in the morning, you need to daven Mincha, but you also didn't daven Musaf, so what do? You daven Mincha first. This is always one of the classic examples they bring for Tadir V'Sheino, Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Since Mincha comes every day of the week, and Musaf only comes on Shabbat, you actually do Mincha before Musaf. There's an exception to this rule, which is a very interesting exception, which is that if you're in shul, and for whatever reason, let's say it's Simchat Torah, and the davening went really, really long, and then you never got to Musaf, okay, because you did Hakafot for hours. You get to Musaf, it's already time for Mincha. So what would you say? Tadir v'sheino, tadir, tadir kodim. You should do Mincha first, but in the shul, when it's the tzibur, you don't, because it confuses people that you'd be doing Mincha and then Musaf. So to keep the regular structure of the tefillah and tzibur, you do Musaf and then Mincha. But if you're an individual and you forgot to daven Musaf in the morning, so you daven Mincha and then Musaf.
Something somebody might think.
We've seen that.
Right. Many. Also, somebody might think Mincha's over and leave shul, and you know, then never realize, oh, I can't believe we forgot to have a Musaf. You know, they would forget. Okay. So now, Atu Shabbat the Tefillah. So again, what's the assumption here? The Mincha comes before the Mikudash of the Musaf. So again, the same answer. Atu Shabbat the Tefillah Musafina Hane the Tefillah Mincha Lo Hane. What do you mean? The Tefillah Mincha is unique for Shabbat. It's got its own special kedusha to it. Tashma, let's try from here. Shlamim shel emesh. Okay, this is from our Mishnah. If you remember, if you have shlamim from yesterday, and chatat ve'ashem shel yom, shlamim shel emesh kodmim. Now, when we learned the Mishnah, we said that what's it talking about? It's talking about shlamim that you sacrificed yesterday, and you still have today to eat them, and then you have chatat ve'ashem from today, which you have today and tonight to eat them. So you're going to eat the shlamim first, right? Because, first of all, they might spoil, and also you have less time to eat them. But now, I'm going to point out that some people think that the Mishnah is actually talking not about eating them, but it's talking about sacrificing them. So what's a shlamim shalemesh? If you had slaughtered it yesterday, it would be already pasul if you didn't sprinkle the blood. So what it means is you set aside the animal yesterday for a shlamim. Then come, but you didn't sacrifice it yet. The next day, you come in and you set aside an animal for a chatat and an asham. Now you have yesterday's animal from the shlamim and today's animal from the chatat and asham. So what do you do first? So you do the shlamim first since you had separated it yesterday. Okay, there's two ways to understand what the Mishnah is referring to. So right now, the Gemara is going to say, what if idi v'idi diyom? In other words, according to this, if it's shlamim shel emesh, then what's going to come first? The shlamim shel emesh, okay? Not the chatat and the asham, right? Emesh is yesterday. But what's inferred from here? Ha idi v'idi diyom, what if they were both today, from today? What would you do? Chatat v'asham kadme, right? The chatat and the asham would come first. Okay, whether it's eating or whether it's sacrificing. That would be obvious from the Mishnah, right? It's only because the shlamim are from yesterday that we do the shlamim first. V'afagav, dishlamim tidire. Shlamim are obviously more common than chatat and asham. This actually, I don't know, obviously, but chatat and asham only come when people sin. So we're assuming that people don't sin all the time and they're not constantly bringing chatat and asham. But they are bringing all sorts of korbanot shlamim. They're bringing nedavot, voluntary offerings, all sorts of, right, it shows that people are bringing good things to the Mikdash and not necessarily because they did bad things. So they're assuming the shlamim are tadiri. So all of a sudden, Rava comes and says, I'm a Rava, matsui ka amarta, tadir kame bailan. Matsui lo kame bailan. Why are you calling shlamim tadir? What does tadir mean? Tadir means frequent, but frequent usually we mean because you're obligated frequently. We're now going to say, what you're calling it more common. Common is not the same as frequent. Common is saying it's more common for people to bring the shlamim than it is for people to bring chatat asham. But that's not what tadir means. Tadir is like Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh. How often does it come? How frequent is it? That's not the same as common. Now, obviously, there's one case where it doesn't really match up. Which case? The yayin, right? Yayin is more common than, right? That one they use a little more as common. Okay, we'll get back to that. So Amar le Rav Huna bar Yehuda le Rava. Atu matzoi lav tadir. Why do you think matzoi is not tadir? In other words, common and frequent, it's all the same thing. How do we know this? V'hatanya otziya ta pesach sheino tadir, v'lo otziya ta milah shehi tadira. Okay, this is a totally different context. The pesach and milah, what's the common denominator? They're both mitzvot asay, that if you don't do them, you get karet. Karet is generally, if you don't do a lo tase. These are the only two mitzvot aseh. If you're not mekayem otam, you get karet. So now there's a question asked about maybe then, if you get karet, remember, if you do something by accident and you're chayv karet on it, if you did it b'mezid, what do you have to do? Bring a korban chatat. So maybe you have to bring a korban chatat if you accidentally didn't do bris milah or didn't do pesach to avoid karet. So there's two verses from which we exclude these mitzvot from bringing a korban chatat. Okay, we say, no, korban chatat, not shayach. Why do we need two psukim? Because they say, now we're going to read the braita again, otziyat ha-pesach she'eno tadir, v'lo otziyat ha-milah she'i tadira. You might have thought if you only had one pasuk, that we would have excluded pesach, because it's not very common, it only comes once a year. But we wouldn't exclude brit milah, which is very common. What does it mean it's common? It means there's always brit milahs going on, right? If you ever, try to get a moel, he's already busy, right? Every day you have people being born and brit milahs being performed. Pesach happens only once a year. So what do you see here? Tadir is common, matzoi, and not frequent only. So now they say, no, my tadira, the tadir here doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean that everyday brit milahs are going on. It means tadira b'mitzvot. It means it has a lot of mitzvot associated with it. We say that there were shlosh esrei britot krutot about brit milah, and because of that we say, this is an important, it has more mitzvot, like more britot associated with it. Or you could say milah legabe pesach ki tadir damya. Then maybe it's a quantity game. When you measure shlamim versus chatat, the difference is not so. When we measure shlamim versus chatat nasham, the difference is not so huge. But when you measure how many brit milahs are there a year and how many times does pesach come a year, you're obviously going to have a huge difference. So in this case, the common becomes more like frequent. Okay, and then we can, and that's why in this case yes, but in our case no. Okay, another question. Ibaya lehu. Tadir v'she. Okay, so by the way, if you notice, we had our question. We started with Tadir u'mekudash eze mehem kodem, and in fact, we never received an answer. Okay, so we don't know. Okay, next question. Tadir v'sheino tadir. Let's say you have a tadir and you have an eino tadir. And what did you do? Kadim v'shachat l'sheino tadir. Okay, you slaughtered the eino tadir by accident. You didn't realize. And then you realize. So now, what do we do? My. Mi amrinan kevan deshachte makrivle. Since we already shechted it, we say, okay, well, we better sprinkle the blood, because what's going to happen to the blood? The blood might coagulate, okay? There's this comes up on Yom Kippurim, where there's the mimares. He's the guy who mixes the blood. We saw this the other day. He mixes the blood to make sure that while the Kohen Gadol is doing the other stuff, it doesn't coagulate. So do we say that since you already slaughtered it, we're going to say, let's sprinkle the blood already, because it's not respectful to the korban to leave it waiting around and it might coagulate? O dilma, yayv la'acher de memores b'demo ad makriv le'tadir v'hadar makriv l'she'eino tadir. Or do we say, give it to someone to mix the blood? In the meantime, go and now slaughter the one that was supposed to be slaughtered first, do the blood, and then go back to the first one. So Amar Rav Huna Misura Tashma. Let's try to learn it from that case in our Mishnah. Shlamim shel emesh, v'chatat v'asham shel yom. Again, the case where you had the shlamim from yesterday. V'chatat v'asham of today. Shel emesh kodem l'shel yom. Right? So yesterday's comes before today's. But what would that imply? Now here they make an interesting derivation. Ha di yom dumia de emesh. If you had today's, though, that was like yesterday's. Okay, hold off. We're going to see what the halacha is going to be. But v'hechidami, first we have to take a break and explain what does it mean. What would be yom like yesterday? Dekadim v'shachte l'shlamim. Okay, if you shechted the shlamim first, which would make it like yesterday's, because what was yesterday's? It was hanging around waiting. So now also, if you accidentally did the shlamim first, it's as if it was, let's say, like yesterday. But they're going to say, if you had yom like emesh, then you wouldn't do the shlamim first. In other words, only emesh, only if it's really from yesterday. But if it's today that's like yesterday, meaning you already slaughtered it, then chatat v'asham kadme, then you won't do the shlamim first. So what does that show you? It shows you that even when you mess up, right, you don't do that one. If you mess up, you have to put it on hold and switch and do the other one instead. Okay? So you would then have somebody mixing the blood while you did the one that was supposed to come first. This is all about, you know, mess-ups. What do you do with the mess-up? Do you just continue where you're up to? Or do you say, oh, wait, stop now. Go back, fix what you didn't do, and then go back and do it, even though you're sacrificing a little bit on the, no pun intended, you're sacrificing a little on the respect for the first korban that you sacrificed, even though you did it out of order. So now they say, no, you can't necessarily derive that. Dilma shlamim de emesh v'chatat v'asham de yom hechi mishkachala. What would the case be where you had a shlamim de emesh and a chatat v'asham de yom? Dishachtinu l'travayu. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where you actually slaughtered everything. In other words, you had a shlamim from yesterday, you had a chatat nasham from today, where we thought maybe you slaughtered the shlamim, and then, in other words, if it was today, then you would change the order. But if it was from yesterday, you wouldn't change the order. But now we're going to say maybe you slaughtered both of them already. In other words, what do you have in front of you? Just the bloods of the two. In which case, you don't have to say, oh, should we hold off on the shlamim because out of lack of respect for the shlamim, and let's deal with the chatat and the asham. Now you don't have that issue because in any case, you're going to have to hold off on the blood of something. So then we're going to say, right, that's why shlamim of yesterday and chatav asham of today, that you didn't slaughter yesterday, because if you slaughtered the shlamim yesterday, it would be pasul already. Remember, you have to deal with it all, pasul of lina, with the state overnight. So what we're saying is, if you come the next morning and you had a shlamim that was in the Beit HaMikdash yesterday waiting to be dealt with, you got a chatav and an asham that came this morning, and you slaughter them both, and now the question is, which bloods do you sprinkle first? And the answer is, do you do the shlamim from yesterday first? So now they're going to say, avalo shachtinu l'travayu, but if you didn't, and then what would we say? If the shlamim was today's shlamim, it only came into the mikdash today, and you slaughtered the shlamim, you slaughtered the chatat v'asham, what would you do first? the chata and the asha would come first, right? Only if the someone was from yesterday would you sprinkle the blood. So what does that show you? It shows you nothing about our situation. Because our situation, right? But if you didn't slaughter them both, then you only slaughtered the shlamim, then we'd be left with the question, what do you do? Do you wait with the blood and start shechting the other one, or do you not? Tashma, let's try to learn it from here. Again, the same source we saw before, Dabar Acher, Birkat Hayayin Tadira, or Birkat Hayomena Tadira, V'tadir V'shedo Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So now, what do we say? Why is this the same case? Because what comes first? The Birkat Hayayin. What came first? Which came first? The sanctity of the day came first. Because when Shabbat starts, in comes Kedushat Hayom, right? And yet, when it comes time to make the brachot, the yayin came to the table after the sanctity of the day already came, but we put the sanctity of the day aside and we do the yayin first because the yayin is tadir. Okay, so you see that even though the sanctity came first, we're going to do the yayin first.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm stuck on this.
Mm-hmm.
The yayin is because it's a bracha, which is sort of parallel to a sacrifice, and because we make brachot on food, it's more tadir.
Because we drink wine every day, remember in those days they drank wine every day, therefore yayin is more tadir.
Okay.
Again, it's more, that one is a little more like common, matsui, and not like frequent, because you don't actually, some people answer, why do we call that frequent? Because there's so many days a year that you need to make a bracha on wine. Okay, there's so many situations. It's not just a holy day when you have a brit milah, you do wine. You have all sorts of events, you have to have wine, a wedding. Right, there's wine associated with so many different things. So you can view it that way, or you can view it every day they drank wine. And then you have the problem, well, that's matsoi, that's not tadir.
Maybe we should put a bottle of wine on the table before Shabbat starts.
Ah, so that as soon as Shabbat comes in, the wine is yafeh. Okay, so anyway, what do they say? They say no, because in this case, you can't say that, because hachanami, dekevan da'atyan, keman deshkite travayu dami. Since now, and this is what you're saying, Judy, since right now, at the moment we're supposed to make kiddush, the wine is already on the table, it's as if we slaughter both of them. Now they're both in front of us. We're going to say the same thing here again. Tashma, Adam Rabbi Yochanan, Alacha, Mitpalel, you see they keep using the same sources. Mitpalel Adam Shal Mincha, V'achar Kach Shal Musafin. And which one came first? Musaf came first, but yet we're going to override that and do the Tadir. What we're saying basically is as if we shechted the animal already and it's just waiting, because the time of Musaf was from the morning. You could say Musaf as early as the morning. So basically, now that Mincha comes, we override the Musaf that's already been there and we put Mincha. But again, they're going to say the same thing. Since now you have Mincha and Musaf both in front of you, it's now 1:30 in the afternoon, and both of them are your chiyuv, so it's as if you slaughtered them both, and therefore it's not like the case that we were trying to figure out if you only slaughtered one of them. Amalei Rav Acha Barei D'Rav Ashi L'Ravina. Shachato Kodem Chatzot Pasul. Mipnei Shene'emar Bo Ben Ha'arbayim. If you slaughter the Korban Pesach before Chatzot, it's no good, because it says it has to be in the afternoon. But if you did it Kodem LaTamid, here we mean the Tamid not of Shachar, but the Tamid of Ben Arbaim, what are you supposed to do first? First you're supposed to do the Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim. But what if you slaughter the Korban Pesach before the Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim? It's Kasher. And what do? V'yehem emares b'demo ad shizrok adam. You would then, if you shechted it, what do? You would stir the blood to keep it from coagulating. Take the tamid, shecht it and slaughter it, presumably. Okay? Presumably. We'll see. Ah, well, it does say ad shizrok adam. It doesn't say ad shizrok yizrok adam. Okay? But hold off on that right now. Here we think that then you deal with the tamid. So, hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon, also, and then that would prove that you'd have to go ahead and shech the other one if you messed up. But then they say no, because hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon dekadim shechte l'tami bereisha. In other words, here the bereisha is a little misused. It means that you slaughtered the Pesach first, then you didn't ask any questions. You didn't know what to do, but you just said, I'll slaughter the Pesach next. And then it was already slaughtered. I'm sorry, the tamid next. Then it was already slaughtered. So since they're both already slaughtered, in any way you're going to have to mix the blood, that's why you mix the blood of the Pesach, and you do the tamid first. But if it hadn't been, that's what it means, bereisha. It means before you tried to figure out what to do, okay? So you slaughtered it not bereisha first before you did the Pesach. Obviously, you slaughtered the Pesach first, then you slaughtered the tamid. Now you have the blood of both in front of you. That's why you're mimares the dam. But if you hadn't yet slaughtered the Pesach, maybe you wouldn't be memorized the dam. Amale Rav Acha Saba le Rav Ashi, Matinitin Name Daika de Katani Ad Shizrok Adam, Velo Katani Ad Shishchot Vizrok Adam Shma Amina. So here again, it seems to imply that it's right, it says Ad Shishchot Vizrok Adam, it doesn't say Ad Shishchot Vizrok, it just says Ad Shizrok, which seems to imply not necessarily that you would have to slaughter the other one and put the other one on hold. So again, just like our first question, we have a lot of questions today, no answers given because all the sources could be read in different ways. Okay, last part of this Mishnah. Ubekulan koanim rishayim. That's how they could eat them any way they want. My taima. Why can they cook the meat any way they want? Amakra. Limoshcha. This is the pasuk about the matnot kuna. It says hinein natati lachem et mishmeret trumotai lechol kodesh ben Israel lecha netatim limoshcha ulevanecha lechol olam. Okay, limoshcha means ligdula, like the mishicha of the kohen and the mishicha of the king. Right, they would anoint them. It's a way of gedula. Kederach shemalachim ochlim, just like kings can eat the food any way they want. Right, they get to choose how to eat their food. Therefore, the Kohanim also get to eat it any way they want.
This is the first practical, really good question, I think, in this whole Masechet.
What? Which one?
Which one do you do first?
This whole issue of, right.
It's like really a good
question. It's very practical because there's constantly different korbanot waiting in front of them, and it would be a very important step in figuring out.
It's kind of shocking that this question of all questions they don't get an answer to because you have a whole long...
Well, again, they gave an answer of Tadir, and they gave an answer of Mikudash. The question is, when Tadir and Mikudash overlap... what do you do? And the other question was, what if you messed up? Then do you hold up on the blood or do you not?
Because right. You don't have a practical answer for what they actually would do.
Right.
Beit HaMikdash.
Yep.
A whole line of korbanot, what do you do?
Yep, that's a good question. I mean, I assume Halacha Lamasa, there's Piskei Halacha I didn't check. Okay, new Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Im ra'ita shemen shehu mitchalek ba'azara. If you see shemen that they start to divide up to the kohanim, ein sarich lishol mahu, you don't have to start asking what's the nature of this shemen. Okay, what would be the concern if the shemen was a nidava? Okay, if you remember, okay, and this is going to finally be where we're going to see it. We learned that Rabbi Shimon holds there was a debate: can you offer a voluntary offering of wine, of oil in the mikdash or not? Okay, there was this debate. And Rabbi Shimon was the one who says, there is no nidava of shemen. It doesn't come up in the Torah specifically, can you be minadei of shemen? So if I say I want to sanctify the shemen and bring it to the mikdash, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing. According to another opinion, there is such a thing, and what would you do? You would take a kmitza. There's actually a debate about how you do kmitza in oil, because oil, you know, what's kmitza? You take your three middle fingers, the kohen dips them in, scoops them up, right? Normally it's with a flour mixture, the solet, you know, that's mixed up with shemen. It's a batter. A batter you can pick up and then what do? You burn it on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is given to the kohen to eat. If it's oil, so again, you'd have to do the kmitza, take out, burn it on the mizbeach, and the rest would be given to the kohen to eat. So there's a debate about how you do the kmitza. Some people say, no, the oil is actually thick enough that you could do kmitza. Some people say you do kmitza with a cup because you can't do it with your fingers. All the oil will drip out. It will be useless. So there's a debate about exactly how you do the kmitza. But anyway, if you find oil laying around in the mikdash, if you could be minadev shemen, then there's a concern that maybe they never took the kmitza from it and burned it on the mizbeach. Now, if you don't take the kmitza, what happens? No one can eat the oil, right? Because what has to happen? In order to allow the oil to be mutar, you have to take the kmitza first, burn it on the mizbeach, and that allows the kohanim to eat the rest of the oil. So Rabbi Shimon says, since he holds, I'll already tell you right at the end, there's no such thing as a shemen nedava, if you see shemen in the mikdash, you don't have to worry, maybe there was no kmitza taken and the kohanim can't eat it. No, of course the kohanim can eat it because... ain't sarich lishol mahu, that's what he's saying. You don't have to worry about what it is. Because it's either motar rikike menachot Yisrael, v'log shemen shel mitzora. Okay, we're going to assume that it's whatever was left from the rikikim that they made those meal offerings. They fried them in oil. There was a little oil left. Or the log shemen of the mitzora. Remember, you take the log shemen and you sprinkle a little bit on the ear and the finger and the toe of the mitzora. And the rest of it is mutar to the kohen. So, you don't have to worry about it. Im ra'ita shemen shunitan al gabei ha'ishim, if you see shemen on the fire, ein tzarich l'shom mahu, ela motar rikikem minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach, she'em minadvim shemen. If you see it burning on the mizbeach, these are things that get burnt on the mizbeach, the rikikim of the minchat kohanim and the minchat kohen mashiach. And if there's some oil left, it must be it's just from there. And you don't have to worry that it's from the from a shemen nidava, because ein mitnadvim shemen. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, mitnadvim shemen. Okay? And therefore, you might have to worry that it's from, right, if you find this oil, that maybe they didn't take yet the kmitza. Amar Shmua. L'divrei Rabbi Tarfon, according to Rabbi Tarfon, what can we assume? Ha-minadev shemen, if you're minadev shemen, I already told you this, but this is what Shmuel is going to say. If you're minadev shemen, komtso v'shirav ne'echalim. Okay? I didn't read it right. If you would read it like this. Komtso, you take a kmitza from it, v'shirav ne'echalim, and the remainder gets eaten. And that's why he says, you know, we are minadvim shemen, and therefore you'd have to worry that they did the kmitza. My time, what's the reason? Where do we get this from? How do you know that you can be minadev shemen and the shirav or ne'echalim? Damar kra, korban mincha. It says, when it says, it talks about a korban mincha, and they say, milamed sheminadvim shemen. And the mincha seems to imply any offering. Okay? They say, here, right, Rashi says, demata lemichtav ki takriv. Bekatav korban yetera ledrasha. It says, right, the pasuk there is, one second, nefesh ki takriv korban mincha. It just could have said ki takriv mincha. Why does it say korban mincha? It comes to include that it's not just a mincha offering, it could be even shemen. It says that's an extra word. Vechi mincha, ma mincha komtza v'shirei ne'echalim. And therefore, we're going to say, since we learned it out from mincha, we're going to say, just like by a mincha, what do? You take a kmitza and the rest gets eaten. Av shemen komtso v'shirav ne'echalim. Okay, so we had Shmuel, who says that according to Rabbi Tarfon, who says you're minadev shemen, not just you minadev shemen, but you, what does it mean to be minadev shemen? You do a kmitza and you burn the kmitza on the mizbeach, and the rest is allowed for the kohanim to eat. Where do we learn this from, the Gemara says? From korban mincha. Extra word korban comes to include even shemen, and since it's written by mincha, it's learned out from mincha, it's going to be treated just like the mincha with the kmitza. Amar Rabbi Zera, af ana nami tanina, we can also prove from here. Amar Rabbi Shimon, if we can prove it from our Mishnah. Im ra'ita shemen shemitchalek ba'azara, iyata tzarich lishomahu, elamota rikike menachot, Yisrael, v'log shemen shomitzora, she'em mitnadvim. Michlal, okay, so now what can you infer from here? Demand, in other words, what does he say? If you see them dividing up the shemen to the kohanim, right, you can assume it's from here, because em mitnadvim. Michlal, delamanda amar mitnadvim, mitchalek. That if the according to the one who says mit nadvim, it would be one second according to this right, it would be mitchalek lekohanim, because he's saying one second if you see it mitchalek ba'azara, you don't have to worry that the kmitza, you know, that it was a shemen nidava. And according to the other person who disagrees with him, if you see a mitchalek, why was it being mitchalek? Because it could be it's the nidava, right? And you have to make sure the kmitza was done. So here you see, there's our proof. Amar le Abaye, ema seifa, but wait, look at the end. What does the second part of the Mishnah say? Im ra'ita shemen shenitan agabei ishim, if you see shemen burning on the fire, iyata tzarich lishom mahu, elamota rikike minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach, she'em minadvim shemen. Now it appears from this source that what? If you see a burning on the mizbeach, you can assume that that was the shemen nidava. So maybe a shemen nidava all gets burned and not, right? Because he's saying ein minadvim shemen. But again, michlal de lamanda amar mitnadev, it seems to imply that if you see it burning on the fire, right? Rabbi Shimon says you don't have to worry what it is because there's no such thing as nidva. You don't have to worry if it's a nidvat shemen. But the other opinion who says you do have to worry it's a nidvat shemen, what do you see here? It's burning on the mizbeach. What would that prove? That maybe you have to burn it entirely. So Abaye says, right, the whole debate is, if you're minadev shemen, do you burn the whole thing? Or do you burn a little bit and divide the remainder to the kohanim?
So the first part of the Mishnah said, if you see shemen being divided by the Kohanim, again, Rabbi Shimon said you don't have to worry, it's a nedava, because there is no such thing as a nedava, but it implies if you thought there was a nedava, then this might be your nedava, which shows you divided to the Kohanim. But according to the second one, if you see it burning on the fire, you don't have to assume it's a nedava, because there's no such thing. But again, the one who would say there is a nedava would say that's why it's being burned. Okay, so Abaye says that proves you burn the whole thing on the flame. Okay, so now we're going to say, Labai kasha resha, the Rabbi Zeira kasha seifa. Okay, each one has trouble with each one. Bishlama la Rabbi Zeira, it's very simple. Resha bishiraim, you say the resha is talking about whatever's remaining, they divvies up to the kohanim, and the seifa is bekometz. What do you see burning on the fire? It was the kmitza, right? Because according to Rabbi Zeira, part gets burned and part gets split up. So the Mishnah makes perfect sense according to him. The first part is talking about Shem and Nedava that was divided into the Kohanim, the Shirayim. And the part about burning it was talking about the part that gets burnt, the Kometz, the Kmitza. Ela Labaye Kasha, right? According to Abaye, if you see Shem and Mitchalek LeKohanim, there's no way that there is such a thing. Because according to Abaye, when you take a nedava of shemen, you have to burn it entirely. So why would... Now again, the Mishnah wasn't talking about the person who says there is nedava. The Mishnah was talking about if you're Rabbi Shimon and you think there's no nedava. But still, it seems to imply that the shirayim, according to the one who says, yes, mitnadvim, if you see it being divided by the kohanim, you have to be concerned that maybe it's a nedava. So what did they answer? Tana resha atu seifa. The reason they used that lashon in the resha was just to match the seifa. In other words, really, like they wanted this structure. If you see shemen on the mitchalek lekohanim, you don't have to worry that it's anything because eimin advim shemen. And if you see it on the fire, you also don't have to worry because eimin advim shemen. But really, you really didn't need to say the resha in that lashon because in the resha, right, you certainly wouldn't, if it's mitchalek lekohanim, for sure it's not an edava. Bishlama seifa tani mishum resha, la resha mishum seifa mitane. I understand, they say, if you're talking about literary structure of a Mishnah, I could see that you would start with a halacha in the resha, and then the seifa would come because you said some halacha in the resha. But to say that we're teaching the resha in one way just to get to the seifa, would we do such a thing? And they say, oh yeah, in fact, yes, in Amr b'marava, tani resha mishum seifa. Yes, in Eretz Yisrael, they say many times, sometimes the beginning of the Mishnah is only there because on account of the second part of the Mishnah. Okay, sometimes we have this case that's not necessarily necessary, but we say it because to set up a structure. Okay, tashma. Yayin, okay, now there's a debate, not only can you be, okay, we know that there's nisachim of yayin, and there's times when offerings are brought with shemen. The question is, can you say, I want to bring yayin nedava, just wine. And it's not because it came with a korban. I want to bring it on account of itself. And you do a yayin nesach with it. Can you do that or not? Yayin kedivrei Rabbi Akiva l'sfalim. Yayin according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, in fact, you can bring wine, mitnadvim yayin. And Rabbi Tarfon also says, but it's Rabbi Akiva is only by yayin. Rabbi Tarfon says you can minadev, also shemen and also yayin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, since he says you can be minadev yayin, where do you put the yayin? In the sfalim. What are the sfalim? Those are those little cups that stood at the top of the mizbeach. Do you remember there were those two holes at the top of the mizbeach where they had like a tunnel that went all the way down to the floor? And that's where they would pour the wine libations. So also, that's where you pour the wine libations that go with the korban. According to Rabbi, this braita says that according to Rabbi Akiva, that you can be minadev yayin, you also pour it in the sfalim, just like you do with the regular yayin nesach. Shemen kediv Rabbi Tarfon leishim. And the shemen, according to Rabbi Tarfon, gets burned. Okay, if you're minadev shemen, you burn it. My love, midiyayin kulo lesfalim. Shemen kulo leishim, which sounds like what? What did we say before? Right? And the yayin, when they say we pour it into the cup, what do we mean? We pour the entire thing in the cup, right? So therefore, it sounds like this bright is saying, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you would take the shemen and burn it entirely on the fire, which matches what Abaye said. It doesn't match what Rabbi Zeira and Shmuel said, right? Shmuel said, L'divrei Rabbi Tarfon minadev shemen komtso v'shirav nechalim. In other words, only the kometz gets burned, but the shirayim get eaten. So they say, no, midi iria hakadita v'hakadita. In other words, they said, the yayin goes in the sfalim, the shemen goes in the ishim, the yayin, the way the yayin is, entirely, and the shemen, only partly on the fire. Amra, papa kitinai. Now he says, this is all based on a machloka tana'i, what you do with the shemen. Shemen lo yifchot milog, Rebbe Omer Shloshet Logim. Okay, shemen, if you bring shemen, there's a machloket. Do you need a log of shemen, or do you need three log of shemen? B'mayka miflagei, what's the root of this machloket? Amarua rabbanan kemeda rapapa, don mine umina, don mina va'okei ba'atra. We've learned this before. What does it mean? If you're going to learn a halacha out of a certain pasuk, we're going to learn it from that pasuk, and we're going to learn all the details from that issue. But if you, that's don mina umina. But if you say don mina va'okei ba'atra, we're going to say, we learn it from some source, but we're going to learn it according to its own details, not according to the details of where you learned it out from. Ika benayu, that's the difference between them. How does this work? Remember, we learned the whole source of the shemen from the mincha, right? Korban, that extra word korban came to tell you that. Umina, and therefore we learn it from the mincha itself. Ma mincha log shemen. How much shemen do you put in the mincha? A log. Afkan log shemen. And therefore, if you're going to learn the shi'ur from the mincha, what else are you going to learn from the mincha? Ma mincha minadvim. Ma mincha komtsa v'shire nechalim. Av shemen komtso v'shire av nechalim. So if you say don mina umina, we're going to say we learn it from mincha. We learn everything about it from mincha, which means that you take shirayim, you take the komets, and the shirayim get eaten by the kohen. But Idach, the other source is going to say, which is Rebbe, Miss Breita, you need shlosha login, mimincha. Ma mincha minadvim, af shemen minadvim, v'okei ba'atra kinisachim. But really, we're going to say the shemen is much more like the libations. Ma nisachim shlosha login, how much wine do you bring? You bring shlosha login. So af shemen shalosh login. Also, the shemen is going to be three log. Uma nisachim kulan l'svalim, af shemen kulan l'ishim. And then we're going to learn it all out from the nisachim. So you pour it entirely like the nisachim, which means you're going to burn it entirely on the fire. Okay? And that's the root of the debate. And therefore we say, Rabbi Zera and Abaye, what they were arguing about is really a machloka tana'im. Do we burn the whole thing or do we take the kmitza, like Shmuel said? Right? It's not just Rabbi Zera, it's Shmuel also. Amar le'Rav Papa l'Abaye, imi mincha maite la Rebbe, if you're going to say that we learn it out from mincha, and that's even if Rebbe says, and that's both of them learned it out from mincha, korban mincha. If you're going to say that, then dekulei alma don mina umina. Everyone should agree that you learn it all out from mincha. And therefore, and that's, once you're going to learn it from mincha, why then all of a sudden learn it also from nisachim? So he says it can't possibly be. Rebbe must not think that we learn out the din of the wine, the fact that you can be minadei of wine. He doesn't think we learned it out from the mincha. He thinks we learn it from this word me'ezrach. Okay? This is by the Nisachim, and it says, Kol ezrach yaseh kacha et ela, la'kriv yishe reach nichach la'ashem. And therefore we learned from that word that we can assume you can also, just like you do the wine libations, you can also do the shemen libations, which means their machloket isn't about domina umina versus domina va'okei ba'atra. No. It's do we learn it from mincha or do we learn it from nisachim? Okay? Amar le'Rav Huna Barei d'Rav Natan d'Rav Papa, mi matzid amar hachi, can you really say that? V'hatanya, korban mincha, milameid sheminadvim shemen, v'kama shlosha login. Oh, wait a minute, though. Can't possibly be that he learns it out from Nisachim, because there's a source that says we learn out the shemen from the mincha, and what's the shi'ur? Shlosha login. Uman shamat le'damar shlosha login. Rebbe he. Rebbe's the only one who says shlosha login. And he's the one who learns it, and he himself, it says, then learns it out from mincha. So you can't say that Rebbe learns it out from the ha'ezrach, and not from mincha, and he thinks domina umina, and not domina va'okei ba'atra. No, he must learn it out from the mincha, and then says domina va'okei ba'atra, meaning, right, learn it out from mincha, but learn the details from something that's more similar to it, which is the nisachim. V'kamay tela mikorban, and he learns it from the word korban. So Amarle, so Rav Papa says, Itanya Tanya. Fine, you're right. I must be wrong. If there's a braita that says that, then you're right. I must be wrong. Okay, and he admits defeat. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Amar Shmuel, Hamitnadev Yayin Mevi Umizalfo Aleishim. Okay, this is very interesting. Sugya, unfortunately, we're running a little late, but I'm going to go a little farther. If you have to leave, you can leave, just because this is a very interesting topic, and it's going to be the Shabbat daf, so we won't do it together. So Shmuel says, if you voluntarily bring wine, what do? Meviu mizafo al gabei ha'ishim. Okay, instead of what we saw before, that you pour it into those cups at the top of the mizbeach, You pour it on the fire. My taima amarkra v'yayin takriv lanesa chatzi ahin isher reach nichoach lashem. Eish, it says there, right? It's supposed to be burned. So you burn it. So now they say, but what's the problem? Hakamechabe. But you're putting out the fire. By pouring water on the flames, what are you doing? You're going to put out the fire. And it's asur. Remember, eish tamid tukad bo. You have to keep the fire going. You can't pour out, you can't put out the fire. So, first they answer, kiboy mimitzat lo shmei kiboy. You're only putting it out a little bit. You're not putting it out a ton. Ini, is that really not kiboy? Ha'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Ravua, ha'mori gachele me'al gabeh mizbeach v'kibah chayav. It says, if you take one coal off the mizbeach and put it out, you're chayav. So what do you see? Even b'miktzad is asur. So how could you pour this wine onto the fire? So what do they answer? Deleika elahai, that's if you only have one gachelet. Then you can't put it out, but if you have more, you'd be able to. Ibait ema, or maybe you would say, kiboy demitzvah shane. We have conflicting interests again, right? We're constantly struggling with this. On the one hand, you're supposed to pour it on the fire. On the other hand, it's putting out the fire and there's an isur l'chabot. But since there's a mitzvah, we allow it. Okay? Whereas if you take one gachelet off and put it out, if you're chayav, there you weren't doing it for a mitzvah, you were just doing it stam. Tashma, now they bring the source. Detana Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Klapei shenitna Torah litrom. Yachol yechabev yitrom. So what do they say? You might have thought that since you're supposed to be toreim the mizbeach, maybe you can put out the fire, right? In order to collect the trumat adeshen, you had to. If you put out the fire, it allows you to do the mitzvah. Here we say kiboy de mitzvah is mutar, but we don't allow you to do it. Amar lo yechbeh, because it says lo yechbeh, we don't allow you to put out the fire in order to then go collect the ashes for the trumat adeshen. So what do they say? Shamehatam efshar de yate vinatar. There we don't allow you to put out the fire because it might go out on its own. So we, eventually the fire dies down and that's when you go and collect the ashes. So we don't let you do it biyadayim, right? We don't let you go and put it out in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of trumat adeshen because there's another way to do it. But if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of pouring the wine on the fire, there's no other way to do it but by also doing kiboy. Okay, so now, tashma, another source, kedivrei Rabbi Akiva lasfalim, Shemin kedivrei Rabbi Tarfon liishim, right? The yayin, according to Rabbi Akiva, goes into the sefel. The shemin goes into the ishim. Ve'od, and additionally, it says, Tanya, yayin nesach lasfalim. O'eno ela liishim. You might have thought, right, so first of all, you see, it goes in the sfalim. It doesn't get burned, according to this brayta. And another brayta says, do the yayin in the sfalim, or maybe the ishim? Amarta lo yichbeh. So therefore, since it says lo yichbeh, obviously you don't do it on the fire. So what do they answer? This is the key part of the sugya that I wanted to get to. Lo kashya harabi Yehuda harabi Shimon. It all goes back to Masechet Shabbat, okay? A long time back. What's a Masechet Shabbat? There's a famous, famous, famous machloket, okay? Even if you didn't learn Masechet Shabbat, you probably know this, about davar she'enu mitkaven on Shabbat. If you do something that you didn't mean to do, in other words, you're not meaning to put out the fire. What are you meaning to do in this act? You're meaning to pour the wine on the fire. So that's called the Davar She'enu Mitkaven. Yes, you're putting out the fire. You're over on the Isser of Lo Yichbeh, but not because you were Mitkaven to put out the fire. Your Kavanah was to put the wine, offer it up to God. So that's called the Davar She'enu Mitkaven, and it's a famous machloket in Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon says Davar She'enu Mitkaven is mutar. And Rabbi Yehuda says Davar She'enu Mitkaven asur. Now this is where we get to what we call psik resha. If you remember, there's something called psik resha, which means could you cut off the head of a chicken velo yamut and he's not going to die? That's, even if davar she'enu mitkaven is mutar according to Rabbi Shimon, but if it's definitely going to happen, then you can't do it. For example, you're out in the sukkah and you want to do netila yadayim, and you say, oh, let's just do it outside the sukkah. It's the easiest. So you go wash your hands over the grass. So what are you doing? You're watering the grass, right? That's a sort to do on Shabbat or on Chag. But you're not mitkaven to water the grass, but we say, since it's going to happen anyway, it's asur. So some people say, how could you say this is Rabbi Shimon? It's going to happen. So some people say, first of all, it might not necessarily happen. Just because you pour the wine, maybe you pour the wine slowly, so it doesn't necessarily put it out. There's also, within that, and this is why I wanted to just review, because it's a really basic issue, there's Davar She'enu Mitzkaven, there's a Psik Resha D'Nichale and Psik Resha D'Lo Nichale. Since you obviously want your grass watered, therefore it's Nichale. But if it were something that would be bad for you, or just not good for you, then it's allowed, according to Rabbi Shimon. So this would be a case you don't really want the fire to go out. So it's a psik resha de lo nichale. And that's why Rabbi Shimon would say it's mutar. Okay? So now they say, Lememer de Shmuel ka Rabbi Shimon sfir alei. So you want to say then that that Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Shimon, the Devar Sheinu Mitkaven is mutar. What about the Ha'amar Shmuel, Mechabin gachelet shamatecha bereshit harabim b'shvil shelo yazuku ba'arabim, avalo gachelet shel etz. Okay. V'isa gadatach Rabbi Shimon sfir alei, afilu gachelet shel etz nami, nami. Okay, so now we're switching topics. I'm going to sort of end here, but there's two basic machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in Masechet Shabbat. One is Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, is it mutar or asur? One is Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. That means you're doing the act, but you don't need it for what the act, the malachot have specific intents. Okay, so you're digging a hole in the ground. Let's say you walk with your high heels in dirt. So you're making a hole in the ground, but you're not digging a hole in the ground. We're actually even better. You're digging a hole, right? What is it? A chofer guma? Because you want the dirt, not because you want the hole. Okay? So that's not for the intent of the mitzvah. That's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. You don't need the intent here. So we're going to show here that Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, not in Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, my malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Because you have a gachelet shel matechet, you want to put out this gachelet of matechet in order not to injure other people, so the people won't get, you know, injured by it. So you can do that, but not a gachelet shel etz. Okay? Because a gachelet shel etz is going to, right, what's the issue here? The issue is the issue here with the fire, with the putting out, is that it's going to make pecham, right? That it's going to, 1 second. If you have this fiery metal implement, you could put it out, but not a gachelet shel etz, because if you're putting out a chatichat etz, it turns into pecham. And matechet doesn't turn into coal, right? But a gachelet shel etz will. So that's why you can't put out a gachelet shel etz. Now here, what's his purpose? He doesn't need the pecham. He just wants to put out the fire so nobody will get hurt. That's putting out the fire, not for the malacha. Putting out the fire is that you're going to end up with a coal, right? So here, if he held like Rabbi Shimon, afilu gachelet shel etz nami. So what do we simply answer? B'davar sheinu mitkaven, savra lak Rabbi Shimon, but b'malach sheinu tzricha legufa, savra lak Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, I wanted to finish the end of the parak, but we've already gone a little far, so we'll stop here. Anyway, these are two very, very basic machlokot in Masechet Shabbat, so it's good review.